serve each of them gives tongue. That by itself, which, how many sandwiches do you get out of a tongue? Not one. So anyway, calf's tongue, the rock of covers, imachardal. So Rashi says he served in calf's tongue with mustard. So Rashi was running the first deli, or Avraham was running the first deli in Thurah. We now have a good expression.
There's an article, by the way, in the New York Times about, you know, all the kosher delis that have to find new clientele.
Oh, I didn't read this article.
Wait,
because
what?
Because
what?
Everybody's self-conscious.
No, because they were originally established in like these old Jewish neighborhoods, for example, like Newark, and then the Jewish demographics changed. And
oh.
Yeah. So there was...
same thing happened on the West Side. When we came to the West Side, everybody, not everybody, but most people ate at Fina Shapiro. But as the community became more frum, they wouldn't eat in Fina Shapiro anymore, so Fina Shapiro had to find a new stuff.
Bernstein closed 100 years ago, I remember that. Where was that? Shmuel Bernstein, so much before your time. Everyone, have you heard of it? No, I've heard of it, but where was it? Oh, we used to go down every Saturday night. There were three restaurants in New York. There was Moshe P. King, La Tikkurah, and Luigi Siegel. That was it. Three restaurants. Remember that?
What neighborhoods were they all in?
They were all in
Moshe P. King was Midtown.
In those days, the only way a kosher restaurant could survive in New York restaurants was a neighborhood deli was when they did business. So he had most of them were in business neighborhood. So Siegel's for 100 years was on 38th.
Yeah, there's a plaque there now.
Well, it's a kosher deli.
Oh, it is.
We're starting from right here, Rabbi Israel.
This is the original.
Yes? Yeah.
And after that, there should be.
Yeah, I'll help you along as we go. I'll help you.
Today, this is today.
Yeah.
The main thing.
Okay, so. Last week we had discussed, and this is where we left off, the fact that Hagar and Avram and Sarah have this very difficult interaction. And here you go, Israel. Hagar has this very difficult time with Sarah, and she runs away. And we were discussing different approaches in the Mefarshim to understand who was right and who was wrong. We saw many different perspectives. That's what Ruth was talking about a second ago with the Ramban and the Radak. So what I wanted to do this week is to take a look at the second half of the story. The second half of the story involves the same cast of characters. The only thing is that there's a very different ending. And I think to appreciate the whole story of Sarah and Avram, right over here, Israel. So Avraham and Sarah and Hagar, to appreciate the whole story, you need to really do both halves. So the first half we saw last week, and then, so we're going to finish the story today, and then we'll, I guess, be able to evaluate in total. So the Torah starts, V'Hashem pakad et Sarah kasher amar, V'yas Hashem l'Sarah kasher diber. Hashem did exactly what he promised for Sarah, referring to the child. And the Torah repeats itself, Vayas Hashem l'Sarah kasher diber. Vatahar, and so Sarah had become pregnant. Vatelet Sarah li'Avraham bein liskunav. She gave birth to a son for Avraham in his old age, in her old age as well. Lamoed asher diber oto Elokim. Exactly at the time when Hashem promised. Vayikra Avraham et shem beno hano lablo. Asher yaldalo Sarah Yitzchak. And Abraham calls the son who's born to him.
Where is it from this page?
Right over here, Rabbi Israel. Right over here. So Abraham calls the son who's born to him Yitzchak. Vayamal Abraham et Yitzchak bino ben shmona yamim kasher tziva oto Elokim. So Yitzchak has a bris when he's 8 days old. Exactly like Hashem commanded. So Yitzhak, by the way, is the first to have the bris at 8 days old. There, Avram had the bris before that, but he was a little more than 8 days old.
90 years old?
No, about 98 years and 57 days, something like that. So Yitzhak gets it at the 8 days. The Avraham ben Ma'at Shanah bivalad lo et Yitzhak b'no. And remarkably, Avram was 100 years old. Vatomer Sarat Sechok Asali Elohim. And Sarah says, Hashem has created a great joyous occasion for me. Tzichok means laughter, a source of joy and laughter. Kol ha-shomea yitzachakli. Anybody who hears will laugh for joy. Vatomer, and she said, mi milel li Abraham, the one who gave this great news to Abraham a year ago, henika vanim Sarah, he's the one who's brought about now that I should be in a position to give birth. Ki alati vein lizkunav. Right here. So the... I've now given a child to my husband in his old age.
Sure.
And as soon as Yitzchak finishes being nursed, around 2 years old, Vayas Avraham Mishteh Gadol B'yom Higamel at Yitzchak. Avraham makes a great party, a great celebration, now that Yitzchak has been nursed. Okay. So now the action begins, as far as we're concerned. This is all the preamble. We know that Sarah finally has a child, Yitzchak is on the scene, and re-enter our protagonists, Hagar and Yishmael. Vatera Sarah et ben Hagar ha-Mitzrit asher yalda li Avraham mitzachek. And Sarah sees the son of Hagar, the Egyptian woman, who gave birth for Avraham, a mitzachek, or Mitzachek, somebody's laughing. All we know is that Sarah sees Yishmael, though doesn't call him that by name, and sees that he's Mitzachek. What does this mean? This is a very key pasuk for us, but it's not at all clear what it means. Right here. Perfect. Yeah. Exactly. So, Vatomer li Avraham, Sarah says to Avraham, Garesh ha'ama hazot v'et bina. Kick out the maid and her son. Ki lo yirash ben ha'ama hazot im bini im Yitzchak. Because I don't want this child, the son of the maid, to inherit with my son, with Yitzchak. The question is, why did Sarah want Hagar and Yishmael thrown out? So what Ira is saying, I think, is very true. We're going to see Mefarshim who say that it was all about the Yerusha, competition for inheritance. The only thing is, then, if we go back to Pasuk Tet, to verse 9, what was the function of that Pasuk?
She didn't like the way he was treated with Clark.
Very good. Okay, so that there's some implication in the Pesukim that it wasn't only the inheritance. The inheritance was a factor, but there was something that preceded that. And that might be, you know, some sort of...
Maybe one bothered her, and the other she knew would resonate that it was Avraham.
So, and what was bothering her? What's your reading of it?
Bothering her was, now Hagar was no longer essential because she could have the child.
Mm-hmm.
Hagar was useful when she thought she was going to have children.
Mm-hmm.
And Hagar's son, who was a little bit, not exactly her idea of what she would like her son to be like, was around, was not helpful. Was disdainful and was a bad influence.
So mitzachek, you understand to mean disdainful.
Well, sometimes it's used for other purposes. Yeah?
It's used in a whole different variety of ways. The reason that I think it's very important because it seems like it was one of the main factors in Sarah's decision. The only thing is that...
Well, certainly disrespectful, however you...
But think about the way that term is being used up until now in the Perek.
It's used for Yitzhak's.
Yeah, and we don't consider that disrespectful.
Well, it is. You know, he named Yitzchak because everybody's going to laugh at me, and here's someone who actually is laughing at it. But that's not...
Meaning everybody's going to laugh at me in a derisive way, or...?
Well, they even think it's kind of amusing or amazing. But here, she doesn't expect it from... Even if, you know, she doesn't expect it from her stepson or whatever the relationship you want to call that is.
Okay, so what the tension here is that the same word that's used... You know, we give the name to Yitzchak, which we assume is not a bad kind of laughter, is not you know, mocking, because it would be really strange to call a son, you know, mocking laughter. That same term is ascribed to Yishmael. And if it's a bad thing in Yishmael, then why isn't it a bad thing in Yitzchak? And if it's a good thing for Yitzchak, it should also be a good thing for Yishmael. So it's very complicated.
Does it have to be the older son of Chama's father of this? Because, you know, he's got more rights with somebody because he's older?
Exactly.
This gives him some more power because he can look down on the son for the reason being he's older and also his name.
And I think that everything that you said is true. And then would we say that Sarah is throwing out, based on what Ron is saying, would Sarah be throwing out Yishmael based on something that he did, some fault of his, or just because he was a threat?
Well, Safek has a lot of different uses. Uh-huh. It's used sometimes for sexual language. It also is the same language for hits, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're gonna see many different approaches. It's just that, you know, that in this parak it seems like it's being used in a more harmless way. But so that's the question: did Yishmael deserve to be thrown out? Was it something that he did? Was it just that he was a natural rival for Yitzchak? The Torah itself is not really, the Torah itself doesn't really give us a clear indication. Maybe some conflicting indications. And then the next question we have to ask ourselves is, well, what about Hagar? Well, so Ira was saying before is that, you know, now Hagar isn't crucial because Sarah can have children on her own. But after all, Hagar was married to Abraham, as we saw last week. We saw the Ramban says that they really got married. That
now or later?
That,
isn't that the second?
No, that at the very, from the very beginning that they were married.
What's her name?
Keturah.
Keturah's.
Oh, no. So Keturah we'll get to later. But Hagar is married. Hagar for sure is married to Abraham.
But Sarah's mother is
Keturah.
Ah, because she gets sent away. We're going to read about how
she married.
But yeah, exactly. So that Hagar is married. Hagar is married to Abraham. So you can't just throw her out for no reason. Seems really brutal.
But and that's what Sarah does. She calls her Amma.
Yeah.
And
very good. Exactly. So she's really putting her down.
In the Islam religion now, mm-hmm. It's very easy for the wife number one to send out
wife number two. Is that right?
No, the first wife. Even, in other words,
okay.
It's very easy to divorce a wife, I think. So we say it's brutal here. There, it's all, I mean, they still do it today.
It's interesting. The thing is that it still has to be the husband's decision, right? I would assume, even in that culture.
Sorry, give Hagar to Abraham because she couldn't have children.
Exactly, but as a wife. That's what we were saying last week, is that the Ramban says that they really got married, because it says, Vatiteno tali Abraham le'isha, as a wife. So Hagar actually has real status. She's not just a concubine. Well, right. And the question is, well, how does Abraham feel about that? And that's exactly what the Torah says. The Torah says, "Vayira hadavar meod be'enei Abraham, al odot b'no." Abraham was very, very sad, very troubled about what was going on with his son. So, very good, very good. So the Mefarshim have to pick up on that. So Abraham doesn't seem to say anything about Hagar. Very important observation. Or the Torah doesn't ascribe anything to him. But then in the next pasuk it says, Vayomer Elohim el Abraham. Hashem says to Abraham, Al yeira be'enecha, don't be sad, don't be troubled, al hana'ar, about your son, the boy, ve'al amatecha, or about your ama, about Hagar. Kol asher tamar elecha Sarah shma bekola, listen to Sarah. Ki v'Yitzchak yikarei lecha zara, because Yitzchak will be your zera, will be your offspring. So the question that we have to ask ourselves is, you know, at least the way that Hashem understood Abraham's emotions, it wasn't just about Yishmael, but it was also about Hagar. Don't be sad either about your son or about your ama. And secondly, why is Hashem telling Abraham to listen to Sarah? Is it because Sarah is correct? Or because this is just the best... Look, Sarah is hell-bent on this particular way of going forward. And so, you know, we have to somehow, you know, accommodate her. And then at the end of the pasuk, when it says, "Ki v'Yitzchak yikarei lecha zara," through Yitzchak you will have descendants, does that imply that Yishmael will not be Avraham's descendant, will not really be considered offspring? Is that the implication?
That's interesting, because doesn't the angel promise Hagar that he'll be, obviously, big nation?
Oh, but it, yeah, very good.
But it was disparaging something, para...
Para Adam, yeah, that we had last week, yeah, right. Yeah. And the question is para Adam disparaging, and that we saw as a machlokas between the different commentaries. So, and Hashem says it right in the next pasuk, "V'gam et ben ha'amal l'goy asimenu," right? Yishmael will also become a great nation. "Ki zarachahu," because he is your Zerah. Well, if he's your Zerah, then why are we throwing him out to begin with?
It's a different nation. I mean, not necessarily. The same thing happened with Yaakov and Esau.
But that's after, right? Yeah, so this is a very...
You know, I mean, the line is clear. It goes through one. There's no case except if Yaakov.
But remember, this is the first time. There's no reason for Abraham to have assumed up until this point that he wouldn't be able to raise both of his sons to be. And what more does every father want? He doesn't want to lose a child.
So what he was like, and this wasn't going to be.
So you're assuming that Yishmael was really doing some bad things. Okay, the question is that, do we have clear evidence of that? All we have in the Pesukim is that he was mitzachek, he's laughing. The question is that a good thing, is that a bad thing? Sometimes we assume that it's a bad thing, because otherwise, why would he have deserved to have been thrown out? And why would his mother be thrown out? But not all the Mefarshim understood it that way. So that's just a little bit of an introduction to what are very difficult Pesukim, where we have to really ask ourselves questions about the motivations and the roles of all the characters here. Just want to go one more pasuk in the Hebrew before we just summarize the rest in the English, which is Abraham's reaction. So we know now that Hashem spoke to Abraham and told him that this is the way it has to be. Vayashkem Abraham baboker. So Abraham gets up early in the morning. Vayikach lechem v'chemat mayim. He takes bread and water. Vayitein el Hagar, and he gives it to Hagar, sam al shechma, he slings it over her shoulder, ve'et hayeled v'yishalcheha, and he also gives her the child, Yishmael, and sends them away, v'telech v'teta, she went, she walked, and she got lost, she became confused about the way, b'midbar be'er sheva, in the desert around Be'er Sheva. And you know, if you've been to Israel, the Negev desert's a really hot place. Always, whenever you're outside in Israel, you always need water, especially in the desert. In any event, the water runs out. We know what happens. Becomes a very scary moment. Yishmael looks like he's not going to survive. And the angel appears to Hagar and says, "Don't cry, don't be sad. I'm going to save Yishmael, and he's going to become a great nation." And then she sees the well and is able to give water to her son. And they're able to survive, and eventually Yishmael grows up to be an expert with the bow and arrow, an expert archer. It says, "Vayihi roveh kashat," it's in verse 20, and then his mother finds him a nice girl from Egypt. Remember, Hagar is Egyptian, so Yishmael ends up marrying somebody from his mother's community, from his mother's place of birth. So the last question that I just wanted to present about the Pesukim is, Avram sends Hagar and Yishmael out into the desert with bread and water, and not all that much water, not with an armed escort, and Avram doesn't go with them to make sure that they get safely to wherever it is they need to go, and doesn't say, "You know what, Hagar, this is a real tragedy, but I'm going to promise you, the trust fund is set up, he's going to go to college, well, I'll be there twice a week, every other weekend, whatever it takes, and let's make sure that, you know, you find a good place to live in the meantime." Avram sends her out with bread and water, and what happens? He almost dies. The kid almost dies. It's terrible. So was Avraham the father he should have been in sending them away? Did he do everything that he could do?
Well, later on, with his children at the end, he sends them away also.
Doesn't he?
Gifts.
With lots of gifts. Yes, with, it says with gold
so
and silver.
Learned, you know.
Right. So that was bothering a lot of the commentaries here, is that if Avraham was so troubled about this whole incident, how can it be that he didn't, you know, do more to ensure that his son would be okay? So this is a real... So one way to look at it is that really was the dialogue, is that Hashem tells Avraham, you've had it wrong this whole time. But we're going to see that. So that's just, you know, a lot of questions about Avraham and Sarah and what their motivations were. Was Yishmael guilty? If you had to throw out Yishmael, did Hagar have to go with him? What was going on in this story? I just wanted to. We're going to keep this in the back of our minds. So we'll come back to this at the end. But I just wanted to introduce it's working for you? Okay, perfect. One last little piece of the puzzle here before we go to the Mephoreshim. The Torah says, this is, we actually read it yesterday, that after Sarah died, and after Yitzchak married Rivka, that Avraham decided to marry what seems to be another woman. Vayosef Avraham, the Torah says, Avraham continued on with his life, Vayikach Isha, and he married a woman, Ushma Keturah. And her name was Keturah. So Rashi says, Keturah zo Hagar. Avraham is bringing Hagar back into the fold. Vinikret Keturah. And why was she called Keturah, not given her regular name of Hagar? Al shem shena'im ma'aseha kiktoret. Because her actions were very fine, just like the smell of the incense. And then Rashi goes on to give another reason, because she decided not to remarry after she had been with Avraham. In other words, a very complimentary name. Either she had been very faithful and loyal to Avraham, even though she had been sent away, or that, you know, she was a big tzaddikess. But either way, Hagar is being complimented and being brought back into the fold. Okay? So that's just something to keep in the back of our mind. We'll return to that, God willing. What's that?
Since he followed all the halachas.
Thanks very much for keeping an eye on him. So let's take a look at Rashi's approach. This is on the second page. This is what I call Rashi takes the I guess what was supposed to be the approach of hedge fund managers. I'm no economist, but we all know that in a hedge fund, the very term hedge in English, right, means that you don't go exactly in one direction and not entirely in the other direction either, right? You try to balance things out. So Rashi was very bothered by these psukim, and so we're going to see Rashi making like a great biblical commentary, just hedge fund style. So you'll see what this means in just a second. So another way to express the same idea is Yogi Berra once said, if you come to a fork in the road, you have to take it. So Rashi is going to take it. So Rashi says, the first key word is mitzachek, that Yishmael was mitzachek, which we know the simple meaning means he was laughing. But Rashi says, well, if in the end he was thrown out unceremoniously, it must be that he did something really awful. So Rashi says, either it was Avodah Zarah, Giloy Arayot, or Ritzicha. Either he was doing idolatry, he was guilty of an act of sexual immorality, or murder. Right? These are what we call the three cardinal sins. So, you know, you have to say, that's an awful lot to... where's the habeas corpus, right? I mean, that's an awful lot to accuse somebody of with just one word. But, again, Rashi was obviously bothered by the continuation of the story. If he gets thrown out, you know, it sounds like he was doing something pretty, pretty awful. But then again, in the very next pasuk, Rashi says a totally different reason for why Yishmael had to be sent away. Shehaya meriv im Yitzchak al ha-Yerusha. Right, that Yishmael was already starting to agitate about the Yerusha. The Omer Ani Bechor, exactly as Rana was saying, I am the Bechor, and rightfully, no tel pishnayim, I'll have a double inheritance. And then, Yotzim Basadeh, they would go out into the, they were brothers that they were, and Yishmael was much older. Venotel kashto, and he would take his bow and arrow, but yore bochitim, and would kind of, you know, tease. Obviously, he wasn't killing him, right? Yitzhak survives, right? But that Yishmael was roughhousing Yitzhak. So again, in this Rashi, it's Yishmael's actions are much more toned down. Again, yeah, their brothers fight, you know, and brothers might say things to each other that could hurt, you know, the other's feelings, and sometimes the older one will roughhouse a little bit. You know, anybody who has more than one boy, you know, may have seen, or had two brothers, you know, may have seen that brothers sometimes will roughhouse each other a little bit, unless the older one is a real generous soul. So it's a lot different than saying that there was idolatry or sexual immorality or murder, but you know, just as a way of highlighting the contrast, the Ramban quotes Rashi and he says, well, which one is it? Is he a murderer and, you know, a convicted felon, or is he just a little bit of a rough older brother? You know, which is not a felony. I mean, think about how full the jails would be. I mean, the jails are already full, right? I mean, you can imagine what they would have if we prosecuted older brothers. You know, so then Rashi, okay, so Rashi's hedging. It's not clear from the psukim. And then Rashi goes on, Al Odot Beno, this is from verse 11, Avraham became very sad about his son, what happened to his son. So Rashi gives you two versions. Again, is managing your portfolio, you know, with fiduciary responsibility. So he asked, he says, firstly, Sheshama Sheyatza Latarbut Ra. What was Avraham so upset about? That Yishmael had gone off the derech. That Yishmael, you know, now Avraham's discovering that Yishmael was really a rotten kid. And that's what made Avraham so sad. Avraham was deeply troubled that Yishmael became a sinner. But the pshuto, the simple meaning of the text, that Avraham was sad is, Al sha'amra lo l'shalcho. The simple reading is that Avraham was very sad that Sarah told him to exile Yishmael. Well, that's a very different interpretation. So was Avraham, and again, Rashi, the first interpretation here in Rashi corresponds to the first interpretation at the beginning, that, you know, Yishmael was an idolater or a murderer, and Avraham became depressed about that. The other approach is that, you know, Yishmael maybe was roughhousing a little bit, was not the best older brother, or typical older brother, let's say, and Avraham was very sad about having to send Yishmael away. Right? So now we get to the next point, which is, Hashem tells Avram, you have to listen to Sarah. Shema Bikola. So exactly like Ira was saying, one way to understand this, and this is the way that Rashi interprets it, Lamadnu, now we learn, Shahaya Avraham Tafel Lesara Benevias. Sarah was the greater prophet, meaning she had greater insight. She was correct. The reason that Avraham has to listen to Sarah is not because, well, what are we going to do? We just have to accommodate Sarah. She's, you know, going... She's very, very, very exercised about this. So, you know, no, it's that Sarah's actually right. Okay, so this is sort of the approach which says that, you know what, maybe Avraham had missed something. And then, lechem v'chemat mayim, why would Avraham have only given bread and water? It just seems derelict. It seems... Yeah, right. This is Avraham who's running around, you know, after his bris milah to give, as Ira likes to point out, three cows to three men.
Three calves.
Three calves to three men. My goodness, he can't spare a little more than bread and water. So Rashi says, it was deliberate. V'lo kesef izahav, not gold and silver. L'fi shehaya son o. Because now Avram hated Yishmael. Al sheyatza l'tarbut ra, because he had become such a rotten kid. And Vatelech Vateta, and it wasn't Avram's fault that Hagar and Yishmael became lost in the desert and that they ran out of water, because what was Hagar trying to do? Chazra Ligilule Beit Aviha. Hagar was trying to return back home to her idols of her youth, meaning Hagar is from Egypt. If you know a little bit of the geography, so Hagar, right, they were being sent away from Beersheba. So Beersheba is in the south of Israel. You have to cross a little bit the Sinai Desert, and then you're in Egypt. Okay? So Hagar, right, because she was, in this version of Rashi, right, really, you know, she was just yearning to go back to her idolatries, that she put her life and her son's life at risk by trying to cross the desert. Avram never expected them to have to go across the desert. He expected them to go in the other direction. And it's all Hagar's fault. And why didn't he give gold and silver? Because Yishmael is a really rotten kid. But then, Rashi, in the very next breath, a few seconds later, comments that the Torah seems to say that Hashem saved Yishmael ba'asher husham, from where he was. We don't have to see this. Rashi's a little longer inside, but what Rashi basically says here is, the angels say to God, let him die. What do we need Yishmael around for? And God says, but for what? What has Yishmael ever done? He's a tzaddik. And the angels say, well, his descendants will be pretty wicked. And God says, well, what does that have to do with it? And by the way, this medrash here is also brought down in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, and it's quoted for us, and we say, from Yishmael we learn that everybody is judged on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur not based on what they might be in the future, what they've been in the past, but on who they are now. So we seem to accept this for, right, normative Judaism that, you know, Yishmael wasn't such a rotten kid, and Rashi quotes it. So, is it Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, and Ritzicha on the one hand? Is it inheritance? But he didn't really do anything wrong? Is Avraham deeply troubled because Yishmael is a rotten kid, or because he has to part ways with his son? Does he only give him bread and water because he can't bear to give him 1 cent more? Or is it that Yishmael is a righteous kid? And then finally, Rashi with the parting shot, when it says that Yishmael became a Rover Kashad, an archer, right, he grew up to become an archer. So Rashi says, just adds in, Haya Yoshiv b'midbar u'milastem es ha'ovrim. Right, he would sit in the desert and he would steal from those who passed by. So, again, you know, pretty negative. And that's why I say Rashi is all over the map here. And again, it's almost like Rashi is trying to give you two different perspectives at once. He just realizes how, you know, how difficult the text is to manage. I guess like a portfolio, you know? It's just very tough. So I wanted to share just a few different perspectives. I think that Rashi's perspective, and specifically the one that makes Yishmael out to be more of a problem and deserving of his fate, is the approach that's most understood. I think the most well-known interpretation. And I think that, because it answers the questions for us of how could Hashem take sides with Sarah and allow this to happen to a teenager, a 15, 16-year-old, and his poor mother, and they almost die, and how could Abraham be complicit in that? It must be that, well, you know, it was deserved. But then we have all this evidence which just doesn't seem to point in that direction. So, you know, is it a frame job on Yishmael? We just don't know. So Rashi gives you both perspectives. Now let's take a look at the Sforno, Rabbi Ovadia Sforno. So he wants to go back to the Pesukim, and he looks at them differently. He says, Mitzachek, Yishmael was Mitzachek. Mal'ig al ha-mishteh shena'asa b'beit Abraham. He was laughing, but in a derisive way, also negative about Yishmael, but no murder, idolatry, or sexual immorality. Mal'ig, he was mocking about the feast that Abraham had made. If you go back to the beginning, remember that Abraham made a big feast now that his son was properly nursed, his son was two, and certainly in that day and age, that was a sign that, you know, this kid is going to make it. It's so hard for a kid to make it, you know, in that society. So, there's a big party. And Yishmael is going around the party and saying, you know what? Be'amro shenis Abraham me'avimelech. And Yishmael is saying, you know what? This kid isn't even Abraham's. This really isn't my brother, not from my mother, and not from my father either. This is Avimelech's. Who's Avimelech? Just to review, Avimelech is the king of Gerar, and when Abraham had to go into exile in Gerar, Avimelech takes Sarah for himself. And Yishmael here is saying that really this was Avimelech's son. And Sarah hears this. Sarah hears Yishmael going around. And again, 16-year-olds can say some pretty inappropriate things. This wouldn't be, you know, I guess unprecedented in human history. But Sarah sees much more behind the comments. She says, well, if Yishmael is saying this, it must be that somebody put him up to it. Garesh ha'amah hazot v'yet bina. kick out Hagar as well as Ishmael. Why? Ki be'atzata asa haben. She told Ishmael, go around and say this. Shehotzi diba, to spread this libel. Leman yirash binar hakol. Lefikach garesh mipnei she'eno din she'yirash afilu biktat. After doing this, after Hagar has pulled this stunt, has put her son up to spreading this libel so that her son would get everything, right, have to kick them both out. So according to the Sforno's reading, who would you say the real villain is?
Hagar.
Ishmael, I mean, he goes along with it, but he's not guilty in the same way that the first of you and Rashi would have him out to be. He wasn't a murderer, he wasn't an idolater, and he didn't do anything so terrible himself. So he listened to his mother and all these, all 15, 16. What's that? Yeah. So according to the Sforno, we know that Yishmael had done something, you know, inappropriate. How culpable he is in particular, we don't know. He's definitely making Hagar out to be the villain. So do we understand exactly why Yishmael needed to be kicked out of the house for that? Well, you can understand it if Sarah is very concerned about the inheritance. But you wouldn't say Yishmael is kicked out because of something that he did. That wouldn't be fair to say. That makes sense according to Rashi's view, or one of Rashi's two views, that Yishmael actually was a murderer, or you know, was a, you know, an idolater, or you know, basically making him out to be a, you know, a real rotten kid. So that's the Sforno. The Sforno at least does say that Hagar, there was some blame here, that Hagar did something wrong. Rashi said it was Yishmael. Okay, but that there was some punishment involved here, that it was their just reward or just deserts. The rest of the Mefarshim, the Rashbam, the Ibn Ezra, the Radak, we'll see them in succession, really don't take that approach. They can't find any sins to speak of. So the Rashbam says, what does it mean that Yishmael was mitzachek? He was laughing, and there was nothing wrong with that, but it reminded Sarah shekvar gadal harbeh, that Yishmael was already matured, right? That that Yitzchak is 2 years old and he can only do, you know, the little things that toddlers can do. But Yishmael was sitting around, kidding around with people. So he was involved in a conversation. He was further along than her own son. This was what Rana was suggesting before. V'lo ratzta lishahoto od. She didn't want to let any more time pass by. Pen yirtza lahachzik birushat aviv im Yitzchak. Lest Yishmael sort of grab on Bimachzik to establish some kind of a dominion over Abraham's assets. So this is what I call Sarah's preemptive strike. There was no crime or sin or on the part of either Hagar or Yishmael for that matter. It was merely about the Yerusha. The Rav Avinel says something similar. The Ibn Ezra, though, takes it one step further. The Ibn Ezra says, Mitzachek, not only was there no sin involved, but Yishmael was mitzachek ki chein minhag kol na'ar. If you've ever seen a teenager, teenagers, they laugh, they like to have a good time. They like to spend time with their friends and joke around. And is there anything so terrible about that? And why did Sarah decide to throw away? It's okay, you let him sleep, it's good. It's good for him. So, why did Sarah throw him out of the house? Vatikanevo. She became jealous. Bavur hayoto gadol mibina. She realized that Yishmael is much older than her son, and it was just jealousy. So this is a very far cry from either Nevuah, or Yishmael did something terrible, or Hagar runs a conspiracy theory. It was an act of jealousy. And then, you know, well, what about the fact that Hashem tells Avram, listen to Sarah? Well, maybe this was the best solution at this point.
Well, some had to tell Avram that the last time somebody listened to their wife, they got in trouble. So he didn't tell him that this was...
Right, I guess so.
This was not the pattern.
I guess so. Though it's possible that somebody did listen to their wife in the few thousand years that intervened, but knowing men, you know, it might not be likely.
It wasn't important.
Right, you're right, exactly. So, I just wanted to introduce one final pshat, which is the view of the Radak on the Pasuk, which says that that Avraham was very upset. And this is meant to be contrasted with Rashi, where one of Rashi's views that Avraham, what was distressing Avraham was the fact that Yishmael had become what he had become, such an awful kid, and that Avraham sent them away without any money because, you know, he detested Yishmael, and that, you know, Yishmael had become really an indescribably bad kid. So the Radak says just the opposite. Aval pi shahaya ben ha'ama, even though Yishmael wasn't Sarah's child, was Hagar's, beno haya, he was still Avram's son, v'haya ohev oto, and Avram loved his son, ki haya bechoro, and even more so that he was the oldest one, v'haya merachem alav kirachem aval banim, and he loved him and had compassion on him the way that any father has compassion on his own son. And not only that, Yishmael wasn't just an average kid. Biderach tova hayaholich. He was really a good kid. Kihu gadalimo v'lamdehu derech Hashem. Avram raised him to know about the derech Hashem, you know, I guess both in terms of his spiritual personality, also to be a good person, a moral person, an ethical person. Ki afilu liachirim hayamalamed. We know that Avraham went out of his way to teach even total strangers umadrich b'derech tova, and to teach people to go along, to give them guidance, to go along a right path, a good path. Kol shekein livno, so even more so he would teach his son. V'haya ra b'inav sheyigarshehu mibeito. And what was troubling Avraham is that now he had to send this good boy away, who he had invested so much in, who he loved so much. And so then the question becomes, so why doesn't Avram just yell at Sarah and say, we can't send him away. He's a good child. He's a good boy.
The whole Rabak doesn't make no sense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because, first of all, I mean, there are enough examples before and after of people who, in theory, raised their children to be good kids and didn't turn out that way.
Right.
Yeah, well, afterwards, obviously, you get stuck. You have,
but also that's not so clear that Esav was such a bad kid. You know, that's a similar thing. The way that, you know, we have the school within Mar Meforshim that say Esav was, you know, pretty terrible. There are other people that say, you know, what do we have actual evidence that Esav did so bad? You know, so again, so he's saying we don't have really any real evidence of Yishmael's guilt.
Except for the fact that Abraham sent them away without anything, and that was terrible.
Exactly. So, and which is why Rashi had to come to the conclusion that Yishmael was. So what he's saying is that
he really didn't send them away without anything. Send them away with lots of stuff. So where does he get that from?
So let's get this.
He has to add that because it fits with the rest of his theory.
V'haya rab einav sheyar shehu mibeito. Abraham was very depressed about this. V'lo ga'ar beishto mipnei shalom bayis. The only reason that Avram didn't lash out at Sarah was shalom bayis. Was that this is, you know, had a, you know, the only way of making things work. You can't have marital strife. But was Avram's heart in it? Absolutely not. Kemoshe katavnu b'dvar Hagar, as exactly like we said last week for the Radak, so that Avram was very upset at Sarah when Sarah said, send away Hagar the first time. And Avram said, why should we send her away? V'haya mitzta'er hal hadavar. And Avram was really suffering. He was greatly pained. V'haya sovil merivas ishto. And he was suffering from this, you know, fight that Sarah had started, that you have to send away your son and Hagar. Ad sheba ilav hadibor, until Hashem came to him and spoke to him and comforted him by saying that Yishmael will be a great nation and you don't have to worry. And again, Ira is right, we don't have scriptural evidence of this, but the Radak finds it so inconceivable that Yishmael, who's a good boy, should be sent away empty-handed. And how could Abraham, who is so generous with total strangers, how could he treat his own son that way? V'gam kesef v'zahav nasanla afal pishalo siper akasev ki lo shalcha v'es hana'ar rekam. There's no way that Abraham would send away Hagar and Yishmael empty-handed. So,
if Avram had enough devour to be able to keep all the mitzvahs, is what they said. You know, they say generally. Right. He also saw that Yishmael was going to turn out to be a problem, not a solution.
Well, but again, do we have any evidence in the Torah that Yishmael does anything bad from this point on? There's no...
We've seen it for the last 4,000 years.
No, but, you know, the question is Yishmael accountable for things that happened after he...
For Muhammad? I don't
know. So the Radak, so hopefully what we've seen is that there's a really wide variety of views. The Torah is not at all clear that Yishmael did anything wrong, and the only view that we really have that he did is Rashi's first view. But it's important to note that not only did the Radak and Ibn Ezra and Rashbam and Sforno all really disagree with that, but even Rashi himself provides a whole second interpretation that really was just a conflict over the inheritance and Yishmael was roughhousing a little bit, but that sending away Yishmael had nothing to do with, you know, Yishmael being a rotten kid. I just wanted...
The Radak doesn't say anything about that they didn't have an escort or anything.
Yeah, unfortunately they didn't have an escort, and that almost seems to be that almost seemed to be a mistake, that Avram had thought enough to give money, but not enough to make sure that they had gotten to the
Radak. I trust Sarah's judgment over the Radak.
What the Radak is saying is that Sarah, you know, just like the Ibn Ezra, let's say, the Ibn Ezra... What's that? But remember, that's what the Ibn Ezra said also, about Tekanebo Bavor Hayoto Gadol Mipna, that Sarah became jealous of Ishmael. Not... Right? So... So... Yeah? So, you know, nobody's perfect. I just wanted to conclude with the, you know, what we mentioned before, which is that, you know, we have this section of the Torah where it says that, you know what, Abraham, we know that he married Sarah, we know that he married Hagar, and then that there's this woman number three, mystery woman number three, named Keturah. And the simple reading is that Keturah is somebody new, somebody he met. You know, maybe Adarna, maybe...
It makes some sense, because...
She's new?
They had a bunch of kids, didn't they?
They had six.
Yeah, so you assume that she was somewhat younger. Hagar, we assume, was more of a contemporary with Sarah, maybe.
The interesting thing is that we have this view that we were saying before, that Keturah is really Hagar. So why should there be such a view? We always have to look a little deeper and ask not just what does the Medrash say, but why would the Medrash say such a thing? And I think that what becomes clear after we've studied the Pesukim very carefully, both last week and this week, in terms of Hagar's role, is that there's a very strong case within many Meforshim, and simply based on the Pesukim, that Hagar never really did anything wrong, and neither did Yishmael. And if that's true...
You want to make it better.
Yeah, exactly. There was no way that Hagar... It just didn't seem right that there could be no redemption in the end, that the final chapter should be she's sent away, and that's it, and that's the last thing that's heard of her, and her son almost dies, and she goes off, and you know, then you have the credits. It can't be...
It doesn't sound like she had such a bad life. She found a wife for him from the land of Egypt, so
right.
It sounds like she had...
She went home.
But how could... But from, I guess... And, it's true, it wouldn't be that she... For sure. The only thing I would say is that what bothered so many within Chazal and the Meforshim is, how could Avraham not have... If it was, you know, if she really didn't do anything, is the last interaction that Avraham would have basically had is to send her away and with not so much, and then that's it? And so what they posit is that after Sarah was out of the picture, after Sarah was no longer around, and so that Shalom Bayis issue wasn't there.
Avram went to his cell phone and said, hey, Avram, now you can come back.
Right, and that he brought her back because he never really wanted to have her away. And again, Hashem doesn't object to any of this. Hashem doesn't have a problem with this. And this whole reading is really that when Hashem says, listen to Sarah, it's not necessarily because Hagar and Yishmael are rotten and need to be sent away. It's, well, you know, it's like they say, it's like a modus vivendi. This is like how we're going to be able to go forward. You know, we have to make some plan. We have to exist in the world together. So, like, this is the only, there are no good options. This is what you should do. But in the absence of a conflict between Sarah and Hagar, you bring Hagar back. And that's why that I call that reading, you know, Avram's heartache, his heartbreak in faith, that Avraham realized that in the short term, this is what Hashem decided, that he would have to listen to Sarah, And he was really torn up about it. I mean, that he would have to send his kid away, who he loved, and that he would have to send Hagar away. But that, you know, he maintained the faith that hopefully Hashem would look after Yishmael. And then when he got the opportunity, he called her back in. Right? Which is this whole, I think, very novel approach, very novel reading of the whole story of Hagar Yishmael, and really puts things in a different light than I think what's traditionally understood. And again, so we presented the traditional view in Rashi, but really so many of the Mefarshim, as we saw, really do paint a much more nuanced picture of what happened. So next week we're going to pick up with Yishmael. Excuse me, sorry, we did Yishmael. We're going to pick up with Yitzhak. So we did 3 weeks on Avram, 2 weeks on the Sarah, Hagar, Yishmael whole conflict, and then we're going to move on with Yitzhak's life and Yitzhak's legacy. Okay, thanks everybody.
Thank you.
It's really great. I hope everybody had a great week, and hope everybody has a good week.
Good.
Let me just turn this off.